So anyway, I gotta go back. I gotta call them tomorrow. I have to schedule time for them to dilate my eyes, which means I can't look at a screen for 8 hours after they dilate my eyes.
Yeah, so. Make sure you have somebody to drive you.
Oh, yeah. I will need somebody to drive me. cough.
Maybe find a person that you'll bring cookie cake to.
Maybe you should have thought about that 10 minutes ago.
I'm sorry.
I asked you to give me a piece of cookie cake.
I'm sorry, I misheard you.
Yeah, that sucks. I was wearing my glasses for a couple days this week because my one eye was bothering me, probably with allergies and stuff. So we were in a meeting, and I'm just like, I don't need to pay a whole lot of attention in this meeting. So I just took my glasses off. like the whole room, everyone I'm looking at, I'm like, I hope I'm looking at like at their eyes because I know I'm looking at their face because I can see a face, but I think I'm looking at their eyes, and I just rolled with it.
I'm face shaped.
I'm looking at a hole.
I don't even know if you're looking at me, but man, it looks like I'm paying attention because you're the one who's talking right now.
Yeah, I have a pair of glasses that I have tried to wear a couple times. They make me sick.
Oh.
Like, I've been wearing contacts for so long that when you put glasses on and it moves the focal point from your eye to like an inch in front of your eye.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so trippy. I can't. I cannot deal anymore.
Yeah, it takes me a few minutes to get used to it. Like literally, I go upstairs, take my contacts out, do my mouthwash, and go to bed. Like, there are nights where I take my contacts out, grab my glasses, and just put them on the nightstand. Like, I don't even put them back on. Like, there's no point.
I think your birthday's had this... over.
You killed David.
He almost got killed, for sure, that night.
Which time?
Many times. He was definitely trying to get killed.
Decimated. He tried to get decimated.
Decimated.
He fell asleep in the car before we got on the highway.
That is not a surprise.
And I had to touch him to wake him up when we got to his house. He did not wake up when we drove down the fucking, I don't know, cobblestone or brick roads of St. Louis. Totally asleep.
Yeah.
I woke up when he got home and he's like, oh shit. We're here.
I like how he blamed you because he had to drink that 12 pack.
Yeah, there's no way we could have.
We can't just find another way to take the beer or just leave them here, because it's not like he's not going to drink here again.
Right.
I was like, oh no, the box your present came in. I'm like, okay, well, we can use this if we have to take stuff back.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, not good enough for David.
No.
Was not the Bud Light box the beer came in. Yeah. Will not be the box the Bud Light leaves in.
So the 12-pack had to be completely consumed.
He accidentally bought like 4 12-packs or something. Yeah. Like, we went to his place. Like, just, he had bought them at different occasions, and then we ended up not drinking them.
Yeah.
And then so he'd bring them home or something weird. So he's just got like a cabinet full of Bud Lights. Maybe that's why he didn't want to bring it home.
Yeah, but those blue margaritas were really good.
Yeah, they were really good. He had two margaritas and 12 beers. He had three.
Sorry,
three.
I can't play with.
I made three pitchers.
They were good.
Each. Now those cups weren't full, but
you were also pouring more than
I was.
Tequila amounts.
I was doubling the tequila in them. Boy, that last one though, that new tequila that I opened was so smooth.
Yeah, it was really smooth.
Oh, it was really good. Like, fresh from Mexico. Like, my parents got back from Mexico the 28th.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They got back from Arizona. And while they were in Arizona, they went into Mexico for a day.
Oh, that's brave.
They do it all the time. My aunt and uncle live down there, and they'll go down there for meds and stuff.
Border cities are rough, I heard, with all the fighting.
I think it depends on which ones. Like, where they're at, I think they're all right.
Tijuana's supposed to be rough.
Yeah. There's a comedy show that you can watch on YouTube called This Is Not Happening. And one of them talks about going into Tijuana. It's fucking hilarious.
Tijuana's on the California side, right?
Yeah. It's,
Everybody told him, he's like, don't go into Tijuana. Like, it's really rough. And then they like cross the border to the other side. And then they just, as soon as they got to the other side, they just saw this line that was about 10 hours long to get back into the United States.
Mm.
He's like, I only wanted to come over here for an hour.
Yeah.
It's really good. What else was I going to say? I don't know. Who would want to live in Mexico?
Mexicans?
That was
what?
That was like a quote from the movie wasn't that we watched.
Wasn't that the Ecuadorians that were in a caravan up here?
Oh, God. No, not this.
And they, like,
some fucking
legitimately they decided to just stop in Mexico.
Some mythological caravan of immigrants that got into the middle of Mexico, but then Donald Trump said, oh, the Mexican immigration authority is really good because, you know, they're in the middle of Mexico and they broke them up. I'm like, well, if they're in the middle of Mexico, then the immigration authority didn't stop them at the border, so they're not that good. And also, it doesn't exist. Like, you're just making shit up. Sorry.
No, the Mexican authorities said it existed, but they're like, that didn't happen that way. They just decided to stop and settle where they were at.
No. They made it sound like it was like thousands and thousands of people.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I don't think
going
it was,
through the fucking.
I have no, I don't think it was anywhere near that.
Yeah, no. It was like, it was probably like 12 guys.
Probably.
I don't know. Panda, your buddy's not there to open the door for you tonight.
You'll live. You're not serious yet, because if I stand up, you're going to walk away. I know. I can see it in your eye. He's standing there because, and he's eyeballing the cookie cake. I see what you're looking at. Don't you even try.
I see you, villain.
Yeah. All right, so next week, Shape of Water?
Oh, yeah.
That yeah, should okay. be available for streaming also.
Yeah, it is. Because when I searched for this movie, the suggestion that I watch was The Shape of Water and something not related at all. Hold on, I got it. Not related at all one was hilarious. Fucking hell. Gone Girl.
Well. That's an interesting...
It's like, oh, you want to watch three billboards? How about Gone Girl? What?
Yeah, that's... okay. All right. So, hey, this is Tony.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
We are the Backseat Producers.
There's a little pause there while we waited for the empty chair to announce
yeah,
itself.
Because I missed him last week.
Oh, yeah. We just skipped straight over him.
So, this week we're talking about three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. Since there's just three of us and we've already chit-chatted a bit, let's just get into this. What'd you think of it, Alex?
Ooh, I really like this movie. I thought it was really well put together. I liked the characters. I liked that every time there was physical violence, it was like, yeah, that makes sense. Fuck the police.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Kayla, what'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I meant to do more research on, like, the true story it's inspired by.
Yeah. Is it based on something?
Yeah.
It's inspired by a true story in Texas.
Texas, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw the article for the first time today. And apparently there was a woman who was found in her car, like, really close to her house. And... She was murdered in the car, and like no arrests have ever been made. The her father, who's in his 80s, I think, has been keeping billboards going this entire time. Spent over $200,000 for billboards. The family believes that it was her estranged husband, soon to be ex-husband, who did it.
Soon to be ex.
Well, it would have. He would have been.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying like now, like now he's going through the process of.
Yeah, yeah. He's divorcing her now.
I don't think you can divorce a dead person.
No.
Okay.
No, that's. I think you can annul a marriage, but
there must be something you like. You don't have to stay married. Like, no, you're. They're just like, sorry, your luck's out. You can't get married ever again.
Until death do you part. I mean, it's over. Right. Yeah. Literally when you die, the marriage is over. That's true.
That is, yeah.
So,
But I mean, legally, like, according to the state, like, if your spouse dies, you're just out of luck.
Yeah.
Just, well, sorry, you should have divorced them before they died.
Well, shit.
Now you're just, it's too late.
Now I'm a widow instead of a divorcee.
And you can never get married again, or else it's polygamy. Or what, is that what it's called? No, it's, if you get married again, it's, what is it called?
Yeah, polygamy.
No, like... Isn't it? It's like bigamy or something.
It's bigamy.
Like, bigamy.
Oh, yeah. Bigamy. Polygamy is specific if a man marries multiple
women. But I mean,
like... Bigamy is not gendered.
Yeah. Bigamy is just if you get married in one place and then married again. And that's illegal.
What if you get married in the same place at the same time to two different people?
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, in Catholicism, even if you get divorced, you can't get remarried. You have to get an annulment.
Yeah, they changed the rules on that so that the church could get more money. Yeah. I'm sure
more
that's
more money, more marriage.
I'm sure that's a big surprise.
That doesn't sound right to me.
Got to maintain Vatican City.
Very similar to the Catholic approach of it's not heaven or hell. It's the one in the middle that you have to pay money to get out of. Your family has to pay
purgatory?
Money.
Purgatory.
Yeah. It's like purgatory.
Yep.
The Pope said I get to go to purgatory. I'm pretty excited about
cool.
that.
It's not a place that exists.
Hey.
It's not in the Bible.
Hey.
It's something
Pope
that
said I can go. So Bat Pope is this is Bat Pope, right?
I don't know.
Is Bat Pope.
Okay.
Yeah.
He also says you're not allowed to use prophylactics.
Didn't he just recently say that hell doesn't exist?
Did he?
I don't know.
If he did,
I might just go back.
That's
one of the fundamental tenets of the faith. That it's just like, I don't get that. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get hell. Eternal damnation makes no sense to me. From if God is supposed to be a loving and forgiving being, at some point you should be able to do penance for whatever. Even Hitler should be able to do enough penance. Maybe it's like a billion years.
There are two different parts of the Bible. And people like
I know.
People like to cherry pick from both.
Oh yeah.
So there's the part of the Bible that is pro-abortion, not pro-choice, pro-abortion, pro-murdering people.
Well, there's also the third part of the Bible that a lot of people choose not to believe exists at all. The Gnostic Gospels. They were like pitched out.
Oh yeah, I mean the New Testament was assembled from all sorts of random sources hundreds of years after Christ was supposed to have lived. So, I mean, whatever. I'm an atheist. It doesn't exist. It's all fake.
Yeah, I never really understood the hell thing either, because, like, literally anybody at any time can just be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Or they even give, like, murderers last rites, you know, in prison before they execute them.
It doesn't make sense to me either, because once you cross that line of unforgivable...
What's
your motivation in the living world to try to improve yourself?
Is that line?
There is no line. There is no unforgivable line.
Yeah.
There's cardinal sins and venial sins.
What about carnal sins?
Those are the best. Those are the best kinds of sins. those are the kinds that the priests don't like to talk about.
Oh my God. So I just started this documentary on Netflix. I'm, like, all into true crime shit right now. Like, I can't get enough. There's this documentary on Netflix called The Keepers. And it's about this case of... it's two murders, but it more concentrates on the one of one of them. Of this nun who worked at, like, a high school in...
The nun was murdered?
Yeah, the nun was murdered. Maryland? I think it was right outside of Baltimore, I want to say. They keep saying Baltimore. I don't know. It's over there somewhere. And, like...
At East.
Yeah, yeah. So they go into, like, how everything is set up and, like, the parishes and how this Catholic high school is set up and, like, the archdiocese. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're giving, like, all this terminology that I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand anything. They're like, he's the... I don't even know. I can't even say anything about it because I just don't understand. What is... Well, he's the chaplain of the school?
Okay.
I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know what the role of chaplain is.
Typically, chaplain... Like, what's weird is normally... I'm used to hearing chaplain in a military context. Like, that's the... Like, it's a military priest.
Yeah. Which,
and it may be...
He was the chaplain of... Okay, so I think she worked at a Catholic high school, and then she had just moved to a public school. Like, they were trying out this new thing, they said, where they had nuns at public school.
Nuns teaching public school?
Yeah.
It's a job. It's just a job.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But she was, like, this young, hip, like, kind nun, so, like, everybody was all, like, crazy about her, because she's, like, she's not, like, the... hit you with a ruler type nun.
When did this take place?
In the 60s. 1969.
Wow, that would be unusual for 60s.
Yeah.
Like, I was... Because I had some nuns... Because I went to a little bit of Catholic school. But that was in the mid-80s. We had a few nuns like that. But yeah, for the 60s, that would be unusual.
To have a nun in...
That wouldn't, like... beat you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they were saying that she was... Like, all the... There were a lot of nuns who worked... around, and they were like mean, everybody was afraid of them, but then here she was, she's like this, you know, cool hip. What was I gonna say about it? Oh, okay, so they're at the public school, so there's a chaplain for the public school. Does that make more sense? They said he was also the chaplain for like the naval base and etc., etc., so I guess it's just a priest that resides there.
This must have been before some separation of church and state cases.
Well, and it,
undoubtedly,
and the public school may have been attached to a military base. I mean, there were public schools attached to the military bases at Scott, at the base at Scott. I mean, literally, I went to Scott East and Scott West schools. I mean, the only kids that went there were kids who lived on the base and a couple of farmers' kids that lived within a couple of miles of there.
But anyways, what was I saying? I'm just watching this. It's a really interesting case. The first episode starts kind of, like, dry. It's like a murder case, and I guess that's kind of silly to be like, oh, this murder's boring. Like,
yeah.
But, it, you know, it's a murder case. It's unsolved as of yet. But there's all these people, like, there are all these people who had her as a teacher who are still alive now.
Sure,
who are, yeah, like, hell-bent on finding out what happened to her. So then, like... The first episode is kind of dry, and then at the very end, they're like, they drop this huge bomb. They're like, there's this girl who they call Jane Doe, who claims that the chaplain of the school was molesting girls there, and he, one time, after she had disappeared, but before they found the body, there's like a 3-month period or something like that. During that time, one of the girls, he was like punishing her for something, he took her to see the nun's body. So this girl, like, she wanted to remain anonymous. She's like, I saw this body. Wow. But nothing has ever come of it. So, yeah. Like, I'm just enthralled with this. But also really confused by all of the Catholic, like,
the hierarchy.
Yeah.
the Catholic Church.
It's actually pretty well documented. You could probably just look on Wikipedia and get a really good idea of the structure. Because the structure is pretty standard from area to area as far as... diocese and archdiocese and the pecking order that falls within that. They're regional. It's regional groupings, basically. Mm-hmm.
The Catholic Church has done a lot of things to cover up mistakes.
No way.
And they seem to go to great lengths to break any law for their supporters.
But there's like, also like, it's also like these tight-knit communities in the Northeast. We ran into this when we were... What was that movie we watched about the Boston...
Spotlight.
Spotlight.
Spotlight, yes.
But you run into all these communities, mm-hmm, where, like, Everybody knows everyone. Like, the chaplain of the school who they're talking about, his brother is, like, a police officer, and, like, they have this whole line of, like, family history and the communities and stuff like that, so everybody's, like, interconnected, and which I don't feel like you get that as much out here or the further west, just because, like, there are all these little parish communities out there.
I think you get it in the larger cities. I think you probably had those kind of communities in St. Louis, but probably the further, like, I would imagine South St. There's a lot of Catholicism in South St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I get the sense, just from talking to people that I've worked with and do work with, that those parish communities were very strong. Some of them still are, but nowhere near as strong as they used to be.
Yeah. See, I need to be able to have a complete mental breakdown in a grocery store and nobody remember it the next week. Like, that's how big of a place that I like to live in.
Yeah, I like that sort of a disconnection.
Yeah, like... I
like to be able to puke into Denny's parking lot at 3 a.m. and then just disappear.
Yeah.
Just vanish.
Yeah, like into the. I like being in the 3 million, one of the 3 million people in the area. Just nobody remembers me. That's fantastic.
Well, this is like the 60s. It takes place. It happened in the 60s.
Right.
And then add in the fact that it's these tiny, like, religious, like, really connected communities.
Less of a commuter lifestyle and...
Like, they were talking about this new shopping. It's like, she had just gone, the night she disappeared, she had just gone to this new shopping center, and they showed a picture of it, and they were like, everybody was abuzz about the, like, it's the, like, the place to go, and it's like this little strip mall. Like,
yeah.
And they're like, ooh, she was out on her own, and she was shopping for the night. It reminds me of Maine a lot, the way they talk.
What's the name of the show?
The Keepers.
The Keepers.
Speaking of Netflix series, have you watched American Vandal?
I started. I am like 3 episodes in.
I really like American Vandal. Yeah. And it got picked up for a second season.
Did it really?
It did.
Do they come to a conclusion? Or is it... Okay, you don't have to.
I'm going to let you watch it till the end. At first, the style kind of bugged me just a little bit, but then I realized what they were going for, and they're really going for a documentary style that is, like, it's legit.
Yeah.
They're legitimately doing a documentary style, and they're aping it really well.
I kind of, like, I get fatigued whenever I'm watching stuff that has to do with high school, because I'm just, like, over it. Like, I'm over high school, yeah. I'm over thinking about it, but they get to the part where the one kid... They're like, oh, he claimed that so-and-so gave him a hand job. So they're like, it's so dramatic the way they're investigating. Like, could he possibly have been lying? Like, they go to the camp and they're like, she's like, oh, there's one thing we can check. So they check the poll where everybody wrote down, like, their
who
hookups.
Was with who?
And they're like, well, maybe she was embarrassed because this guy's a nerd. And then they're like, wait, what's these initials? And I don't know what the initials are.
Yeah, but I don't remember either.
They recognize it as these initials of some dweeb at the school. They're like, if she wrote down this one, why wouldn't she write down the... Like, they just go into, like, insane depth.
The analysis is great because it's completely ridiculous. But it's the kind of analysis that some of these documentary filmmakers do. Like they look for this minutia and make something out of it.
And it makes sense.
It like, does. It's really good.
It's petty and stupid what they're trying to figure out, but the steps they're taking make sense.
In the scope of high school, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
That this level of petty is perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you got to the part where they do the analysis of drawing dicks?
Yes.
Oh.
They show him the pictures that he's like, I can't believe I didn't see this.
Who starts with the shaft? Nobody starts with the shaft.
Yeah, I always
put... You start
with
the balls or the head. You don't start with the shaft.
They're like, oh, yeah, I always put hair on them. You can't draw a dick without putting hair on the balls.
And that becomes a crucial piece of evidence is the hair on the balls. So the American van... The whole idea is that somebody went and drew dicks on cars.
Okay.
Spray painted
dicks on cars. And they're trying to figure out who did it. And the AV department... in the school is doing a documentary. about it and trying to get to the bottom of it, get to the truth of it. It's really good.
It is really good.
Because clearly there's this one kid who's super into documentaries, and he's totally just enlisted the rest of the AV department to make this documentary with him. And like some of them are just like not into it at all.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, knowing that you like documentaries, I thought that you might enjoy that one.
Oh my god, did we start the review of this movie and then totally get sidetracked? How do we do that? I don't remember.
I really like this movie.
I liked it too.
I did enjoy it a whole lot. The acting was amazing. Like really, really good all around.
I liked it when she kicked those kids in the crotch.
I laughed for like 20 minutes because she even kicked the girl in the crotch. The girl's just like, oh, ow!
The girl's reaction is best because it takes like a second. She's like, ah!
It would hurt.
Yeah,
it would hurt.
And then she doesn't hit the kid with glasses. She's like, oh, he really doesn't know or something. But that was...
I mean, at some point, you have to stop kicking kids in the crotch out in front of high school. All the crimes that get committed in this town and no consequences. She just assaulted three teenagers.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah. I want to believe that when the credits rolled, the two characters at the end went on to form a band of vigilantes. Just killing people in Idaho. It was Idaho, right?
Yeah, they were
Missouri
to Idaho.
Yeah. Missouri to Idaho is a long drive. You guys want to talk about the least believable part of this?
What?
There wasn't one. I thought it was all good.
Yeah, I didn't.
The police confirm all my stereotypes about police. So that was awesome. Perfectly reinforced there.
Is there an Ebbing, Missouri?
No, it's made up.
I don't think so. What's funny is I talked to some people about this, and like there are people that are a little bit offended by the movie because the way people that aren't anywhere near here, like my boss said he went to the West Coast for vacation, and they said they were from St. Louis, and like, oh yeah, I saw that Ebbing, Missouri movie, and it's like, yeah, that's not how people around here are. That's not.
So they're trying to take it as a representation of like
of people in Missouri. Yeah.
I mean maybe outside of St. Louis.
St. Louis, Columbia, and Kansas City are a little different from the rest of the state.
They are.
We're the three big cities. But I mean, most states are like that. Like anytime I tell somebody that I grew up in Illinois, they're like, "Oh, you're from Chicago?" And I'm like, "No." There's a lot more.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more than...
There's a whole lot more. It's just in Illinois, we have 98% of our population in Chicago. Yeah.
You live on a farm? If you don't live in Chicago, you live on a farm, right? No.
There are a couple other cities, but yeah, none of them are as big as Chicago. Chicago's got like 11 million people.
Big city.
Chicago's got 11 million people. I think Illinois has like 13 million people total.
Yeah.
Like
everybody that lives in New York State doesn't live in New York City.
Yeah.
Most of them do. But
most states have like a few big cities and then the rest of it's spread out, you know. Not every place is like fucking LA where it's just sprawling metropolis for 150 miles. San Francisco's like that too, I think.
Oh no, I've never been.
But no, this isn't like a I appreciated the varying accents of everybody because I think that is very Midwestern.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a real hodgepodge of
I really like the inflections. Dialogue. Like, the dialogue was really good. And, like...
Hey, chicken fucker. What?
She doesn't call him chicken fucker.
No, she doesn't.
Cocksucker.
Cocksucker.
Was it cocksucker?
No, I can't remember what she called him.
It started with a C, and it was long.
Cock gobbler, maybe. No, that's not it. I thought it was...
Hey, you don't respond. What are you doing?
What's the law on what you can and cannot say on a billboard? I assume you can't say nothing defamatory and you can't say fuck, piss, or cunt. Is that right? Or anus.
Or anus.
No, my favorite was the conversation when the girl is still alive. And it's like, Why are you never on my side? I am on your side when you're not being a cunt.
And there then will, they both turn.
There will be no more cunts in this.
They both turn. They're like, hey. Yeah. I did like that too.
Yeah.
They're fighting, and then the kids are fighting, but then they're both fighting him.
And when he says cunt, they both were like, yeah. Wait.
Yeah. That was such a family dynamic. It felt so natural.
It was really
good. He's like, they're arguing with each other. I'm going to piss them both off at me. Like, that's what I got out of it.
That's what I got out of it. He was defending his mom because she's the...
Yeah.
The daughter said something outrageous. No. It was...
He defended his mom for a second.
No, he was defending his mom, and then he called his little sister a cunt, so then they both get mad at him, which is justifiable. Yeah. You don't call your little sister a cunt. And then she says, there will be no more cunts in this house, and he
what,
says...
What, are you moving out? Oh my
which
god.
Which is, yeah. Like, unacceptable, but funny as hell. Like, and even, he's like... It was just a gag.
It was just too funny to pass.
Like, I couldn't pass it up.
Yeah. Like, it was low-hanging fruit. I had to.
Yeah.
Fuckhead.
I couldn't not do that there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like Sam Rockwell. He was really good at playing that asshole.
Who was he? Dixon?
The deputy.
Yeah.
Is it Dixon?
I think that's Dixon. The one who ends up driving to Idaho with her.
Yeah, Dixon.
Yeah.
Oh, this also confirmed some suspicions that I have about dentists. I'm just looking for an excuse to hurt you.
Her instincts are on point. Like, yeah. She, as a character.
Yeah, she was sharp as a tack.
Yep.
Frances McDormand is a hell of an actor.
Yeah.
She's really good.
The only thing I disliked about this movie... And maybe I disliked it because it's too realistic, but the suicide notes, how the guy's like, oh, I'm wrapping everything up in a nice little bow. It just seemed like he's like, oh, I'm done. Like, I'm going to write a note to everybody and I'm out. And everything's perfect.
He orchestrated his shit really well. I mean,
did he? I mean, he
was sick with cancer. He knew he was going to that. Like, I don't feel like he felt like he was wrapping anything up with a little bow. He, like, absolutely says, he basically says, I'm dumping this on your lap to Mildred.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then,
ha-ha.
And ha-ha, I paid for the next month.
Right.
So that was deal another with thing. That was good.
That was good.
That was another thing. He knows he's killing himself, and he's removing his income from his household, and then he sends $5,000... to pay for this billboard.
Yeah, I would bet but his wife gets a nice payout from...
But it makes you rethink his earlier actions when he's talking to the... what's his name? Red. I can't remember his last name. Where he's like, how much does it cost?
Mm-hmm.
$5,000.
Yeah.
He wasn't asking to buy it out. He was asking so he'd fund the next month.
Yeah. Yeah, he was thinking at that point.
I don't think
point,
at that point he was thinking.
I think at that
point
that
was like the day it came out.
Yeah. I think as soon as he realized this happened, I think he was
He doesn't tell him a number at that point.
Doesn't he?
Mm-mm. He asks how long it had been paid for.
Yeah.
And I think he was thinking about buying it out next, but Red says it's been paid for the year outright.
Yeah.
I don't think he gives him a number at that point.
I don't remember. Maybe I saw this at the end of February.
Oh, I saw it earlier today.
Yeah, so there's some details that are a little more fuzzy on some of that. Because I saw this as part of the Best Picture marathon that I went to.
I was looking it up on IMDb, and there before Woody Harrelson, they have two listings for Latino and Latino number two. Those characters on IMDb.
Latino number two. Okay. Was that the other sign guys?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like running through the movie in my head at like 10 times speed trying to...
Yeah, that's the only
they
thing
show
you
up
think
before
of
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
I was surprised by... I didn't know a lot about the movie going in. like including like who some of the actors were in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was surprised when I saw Peter Dinklage in it. It's like, oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know he was in this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Woody Harrelson was in it.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Every time I see Woody Harrelson, I think about their fucking bowling movie, and I can't.
Is that Kingpin?
Yeah. The Rubber Man.
I think I saw that movie once.
Yeah,
like when it came out on like on VHS.
I specifically think of the scene where the bowlers are waiting around the return, and then his ball comes out with his hand still attached to it, and he looks at the other guy and goes, "That one's mine." Like that scene jumps into my head every fucking time I see him. I'm like, what?
Woody Harrelson is too good at playing an asshole cop.
He's just a good actor, I think.
But he's specifically really good at being an asshole cop.
Yeah,
him in True Detective.
Yeah.
And he's an asshole in that movie, in that show.
I mean, he plays a good asshole. He's an asshole in Kingpin, too. He's not a cop in Kingpin. He's a condom salesman / bowler.
But anyway, specifically this role, he's very good at it.
He's good at being that kind of person in general.
Yeah.
Like, look at the role he played in The Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
He had that edge to him. Like, there's something dark about that guy.
But still slightly sympathetic.
Yeah.
Like, he's an asshole cop in this movie, but maybe the second least asshole-ish cop in the movie. Like, before the dude shows up to take over the precinct, he's the least asshole-ish cop in the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in the precinct.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is just making do.
Yeah.
He's making do, and you almost get the sense that he's known for a while that he's going.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, just getting by. Like, I don't have time to deal with all this petty little bullshit. It's going to be somebody else's problem soon enough.
Yeah. There was a lot of, like, switching of my emotions. Because at first, you're totally on the side of Mildred.
Mm-hmm.
And even after they announced that Woody Harrelson character has cancer, I'm not like totally sympathetic. But then at some point,
that's not her problem.
Yeah,
it's not. Yeah, it isn't.
Like he's the elected sheriff; he should do his fucking job.
But you can still see everything, like all the social strings that are being pulled. Like everything that's happening is
weird. Fucking reality TV show alliances,
kind of.
I'm a friend of Wallaby.
Wallaby?
Willoughby.
Willoughby.
Willoughby. Willoughby. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't complain if I was a Wallaby's friend either.
What does she do that first, like... Oh, when they first show her son, and I hadn't thought about her living child and him being in school and what effect this would be having on him and his social life. And then I started to be like before she's being a badass and like kind of taking everybody on. But then I'm like
she's got this righteous fury about her.
Yeah. And yeah, well earned, you know, like her, her daughter was raped and murdered. Like it's awful. And then she goes in that tirade against the priest. In her kitchen. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a good monologue. If I was in a high school drama class, I think that would be my monologue right now.
Yeah. But then I first started thinking, like, oh, like, there are other, like, consequences to what she's doing. But then I still wasn't sure, like, I was totally against her. And things start escalating, going back and forth. Like, her billboards get burned down. It makes us think that it was Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
But then while I was watching it, I was like, we never actually... I know that they cut when he's like, none of your business where I'm going, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then the billboards are up in flames. And then they cut back to Dixon the next day. And he's like, hey, if I was still a cop, this would be my job. But I don't care.
Right.
And I was like... I know I'm supposed to think he did it, but I don't think
it was,
he did it.
It was really good bait and switch.
Yeah, it was.
It really was.
Soon as I thought it, I also dropped it. I was like, eh, okay, never mind.
When his mom is telling them that, I thought his mom did it.
Oh, really? Mm. She's too old.
Is she?
Yeah, she's too fragile.
She's got the turtle that she's taking care of quite well. She could burn some billboards.
How
down.
Do you know how well she's taking care of that turtle? Let's
the
be honest.
The turtle seemed happy Did as you, fuck.
How do you know what a happy turtle looks like?
He's smiling.
No, that is not true. He does not have lips.
He's smiling and he doesn't even need lips. It's fucking turtle glow.
Ew, my God. Turtle glow. I don't... Sounds like a product from the 80s or something.
I'm sorry. All I can think about is that scene where she's asleep on the couch and he, like, you see the turtle is, like, on one of her legs and then he goes back in the room for a couple hours and comes out and the turtle has made it to her lap.
Yeah. Oh, and then the next thing she does is she sets fire to the police station. And I'm like, okay, maybe we need to, like, roll this. I know you're super mad, but, like... This is not going to help. But this whole dynamic of, like...
She was...
Power and authority. And these cops who are, like... They're the cops of the town and they're abusing that authority. But they think that they're in the right. Like, this moral ambiguity thing. Like, I was really digging.
Yeah, the motivations were all really solid. And, like, by the end of the movie, you could really feel for... Like, I even felt for Dixon.
Yeah.
Like, the person I never, like if something really bad happened to them, I would have been okay with it, is Dixon's mom. Because she was just a terrible person.
She was.
She was just
You
awful.
Could see why Dixon was
exactly.
the way he was.
Yeah, I felt bad for him because it's like, this is why he is that way.
That one scene where she's like, why don't you go after her friends? And I was like, oh, fuck, you're the real villain.
Yeah.
Like,
so, yeah.
I didn't feel bad for Dixon, and here's why. Maybe this is wrong of me as a person. What happened to him?
Yeah, okay.
Hold on. What happened to him? His mentor died. He got fired. And then he was set on fire. And at the end of it, he's a better fucking person than he's been in his entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because of the letter from... Willoughby.
I don't know.
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's the letter from Willoughby.
Well, that is the instant point where he's reading the letter and he's making that connection.
That helps. But when he's in the hospital and the person he just beat the shit out of still gives him orange juice? By the way, Red's a better person than I'll ever fucking be.
Oh, yeah.
If that had happened
Red
to me...
I was thinking that while I was watching the movie. I was like, Red might be one of the best people in this. Like, he does not give a fuck that the police come up in his store and are, like, threatening him. He's standing up for this lady and, like, her rights. He then feels bad when he finds out the cop has cancer, so he does, like, lean on her a little bit. And then he gets thrown out of a fucking window and, like, all these people standing around watching this happen. That blew my mind, but that's... Probably a reality.
He did not fight back once. He made no effort to fight back.
Yeah.
What is he supposed to do? The dude has a gun. Like, and then he like is in the hospital.
Gives him orange juice.
Yeah. And he's like having a panic attack. And the dude is like crying. And I was like, oh my God, what is he going to do? Because this whole movie is filled with fucked up people doing fucked up shit to each
Red
other.
Red could seriously do some fucked up shit to this guy
I would have
right
fucking
now.
Strangled him. With his own bandages, if I was in his situation.
And he pours him a glass of fucking orange juice, just like brava. Like, he's... Yeah. But can we talk about the real star of this movie, whose acting was, like, out of this world?
Terry Crews?
I wish Terry Crews was in this movie. I wish Terry Crews was in every movie I watched, to be completely honest. Penelope, the 19-year-old girlfriend. The space cadet.
She was amazing.
Oh my God.
She was really good.
Did you?
He walks in on that scene where he's got her up by the throat. The kid has a knife to the dude's. Oh, is this a bad time? I just wanted to use the bathroom. It is a bad time, isn't it? She's so, like, the acting is so spot on. She's just such a ditz. Like,
oh,
it
yeah.
was so good. Every time she was, like, she had a speaking role, I was just like, totally about everything she was doing.
I was enthralled at when she was talking about how she read that or where she got that quote from, because she says something and then you're like, she's this stupid and she's reading a book about, what did she say at first? Polio? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And then she's like, no, wait, it's the one with the horses. What? What the fuck? Polio with horses? Oh, polo. Ah, there it is. There it is.
Yep.
I read it in a book. No, on a bookmark. That was in a book. About polio. No, wait. The one with the horses.
She just keeps talking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she just keeps talking. Even Peter Dinklage is like, Penelope said begets. Yeah. They're in the scene in the kitchen, and she goes to the bathroom, and yeah. the father's like, don't say a word. Like, because he knows that she's just an idiot. What's going on up there? Uh-oh.
Panda's losing his mind, and he ran and is bugging Julie in bed. So I wouldn't be surprised if he comes down ass first.
Panda.
Nope, he's just wound up. So, buddy, come here. Come here. Come here.
What? No.
Is that your Easter bunny?
He was outside for a little while, and it's cold. And when he comes in from the cold, and he's been out for a while, he has to run to warm himself up. That's just like his move.
That's what Peach.
Where any of us would throw a blanket over ourselves and snuggle in? No, he's gonna run. He's gonna warm himself up.
That's what Peach does after her shower.
Mm.
She just runs around the house to air dry.
How do you guys feel about the end to the movie?
I liked the end.
It's sort of like a slice of life. It's towards a deal. Because there's
I like the ambiguity of the end.
Yeah.
Like that, look.
There's no ambiguity in my headcanon. In my headcanon, they went and they killed that fucking guy.
It has all ambiguity. They, like, the last portion of dialogue is, are you really sure about doing this? And they're both like, nah.
No, that's why I said in my headcanon, there's no ambiguity.
But your head, like, you can have headcanon about what happened after the movie. The movie has ambiguity.
Oh, okay.
So you can't say my headcanon. Like,
I like the ambiguity because I think reasonably four different people can have four different headcanons and none of them are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I think there's a lot that you can get from the ending. Depending on how you who you're following and what they're saying and what you pick up on.
Let me tell you the real canon. They kill that guy and then they fuck on his corpse.
Oh my god, no.
Wow.
Her and Dixon.
Wow. First of all, what's wrong with
Except Dixon's junk got burned off in that fire, we all know that. So it's a scissoring thing.
Let's see if well, I can pick this up on David the has shown up.
Yeah, what the fuck is this?
No, I was just
Did he
that
text
friend.
You and tell you that?
No.
Reading from the script that David left under the table, like what? Yeah.
He left it there. He left it there Saturday night.
Yeah.
No, that's just some vomit.
Like to think that they don't kill. They don't continue and kill.
I think they're both
running out of steam.
I like to think that they got there. Like they're sitting outside of his house and they're like, yeah, we could do this. And then they leave. Or they just place an anonymous phone call that some shady shit's going down there and just
yeah.
and then just leave.
Yeah. I think they both realized that by the end of the movie that because she just realized she burnt down a police station for something her husband did.
Yeah.
And he's done a bunch of shit that he is now regretting. So I think they both are kind of coming to terms with the fact that maybe they need to chill.
Yeah.
They don't have evidence against this guy except for some offhanded comments that he made at a bar, which are, the dude is a bad dude.
Yeah, he legitimately is a bad dude who's done bad things
yeah,
but somewhere in the world.
Right.
That they'll never be able to.
Do you think if Mildred found out, because she doesn't know that it was the guy who threatened her and broke her shit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if she found that out, it would reinforce her decision to go to Ohio, or not Ohio, fuck,
Idaho
and kill him?
I don't know.
Because he's obviously a piece of shit. He's from Idaho, drove all the fucking way to Missouri to break a $7 trinket and harass somebody.
He didn't do it just for that reason.
Why else would he be there?
Why is anybody anywhere? Like, what? He could have a million reasons to be in a
small town. He was in Branson.
Right.
I could not figure out.
He was visiting he had a friend there.
Yeah, he's got to go see Yakov Smirnoff.
I couldn't figure out the geography of, like, where this was supposed to be.
I imagine rural Missouri.
Yeah, thinking, but that's like most of
current I think river-ish.
Like, I'm thinking really close to the Ozarks.
Yeah,
there was a gift. Yeah, maybe over, there was a gift shop.
Not the nice part of the Ozarks, but like
not Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah,
like the Ozarks, the Ozark Mountains. But like you're just like a quarter mile away from hillbillies.
Yeah,
so kind of. There was a gift shop, and it was a small town. So I kept trying to think like this. This must either be like Branson or maybe like a town right near one of the borders, like right next to Interstate, you know, where I-70 crosses or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they needed to
show. They did make mention of like a freeway or something.
They needed to. Well, they made mention of the freeway showing up, and which made the road where she put the billboards.
Didn't she say like Highway 10 or something like that? I don't think she said a freeway.
I don't know the difference. I just use them interchangeably.
Freeway is an interstate.
I know that there is a difference. I don't know the difference, and I'm choosing to remain ignorant.
Freeway tends to be a word people use when they're also used to having tollways.
That makes sense, because it's a freeway.
Yeah.
It's free.
As opposed to just calling them all highways like we do around highway, here. Because
which is what you use when you want to get high.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have toll roads out here.
Chicago.
Do in Maine. New England.
Chicago has toll roads?
Everywhere.
Yes. Yes, they do. Chicago. The the interchange highways or tollways.
I've never paid a toll going to Chicago, but...
If you go straight into Chicago, you don't pay a toll.
Okay, that would
if
be
you,
why.
If you go up 55 and skirt around downtown to go up to like the northwest burbs, yeah, that's all toll.
Oh, okay.
Because your other option is to go into downtown and then back up, which takes about 18 times longer than just hitting the tollway and spending $5. Like yeah. It's legitimately cheaper.
We always just go into downtown.
Right. Yeah. If you're going into downtown, you don't have to deal with it.
But I hate toll roads in general. Last time I went to Maine, we drove into New York, and like we got a half a mile into New York, and there was a $20 toll. I was like, "What the fuck?" And then we avoided it on the way out, and that toll road only saved 5 minutes off of our time on the way in.
Depending on the time of day you do it, that can make a huge difference.
I don't think anything around. Because it was on the western edge of New York State.
That's like Florida, where you're just on a fucking toll road from the minute you get into that state until you hit Orlando.
New Jersey was like that,
all
too.
All toll.
The whole way we were going through New Jersey that one time was toll roads.
Turnpikes.
Yeah.
I remember because we got on and we were like, we have no cash. Remember?
I was thinking about the time with Ben.
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
We were with Ben. Were we? I don't know. We've driven through New England so many times.
There was a time that we got on a toll road and we didn't have cash, and I didn't know I was getting on a toll road.
Right.
And then I was like, hey, do you accept credit? No, you have to fill out this paperwork and
mail
it in.
First of all, why don't you accept, like, why? And these are toll roads where the toll is like, we were getting off because you get a card when you get on.
Right.
And then, like, when you get off, so that tells you how much your toll is.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's upwards of, like, $20 sometimes, yep, depending on how, you know, mm-hmm, how long you're...
Yeah, that's right.
The Pennsylvania Turnpike is like that.
Yeah.
And the Florida tollway used to be like that. I think they do coins now, like coin or like, I-Pass. In Illinois, it was I-Pass, so it's probably Florida Pass or whatever.
Flow pass.
I kept trying to think of the toll road.
Cancel it. Let's
lean into it.
Okay.
Double down.
Do you remember that time I accidentally got on the wrong way
in Augusta,
on the road in Augusta, and we just pulled a U-turn through both sets of toll booths and left, and nothing happened?
What are they gonna do about it?
Send your mom a big ticket because I was driving her car.
So one thing
we didn't have the technology of cameras in Maine back then.
Florida, they used to have this thing like their tollways were when you got on, you got a card, and then when you got off at the other mm-hmm end, you had to use your card. The thing is you had to be careful because they timestamp everything, and they had a real problem with speeders.
Oh, yeah.
So
nice.
They timestamped everything from the time you got into it and the time you left. So like the whole way down, you'd see people picnicking all along there. So they'd they'd be going 80 miles an hour, then they'd just pull over, stop and have lunch, and they get on the road. And
that's that, funny as hell.
That happened to my parents when I was real little. I don't think it was Florida. I think it was like Oklahoma or something. We got on its whole road, and it was my parents and their Mustang and some of their other friends in a Camaro, and they were just racing each other.
Was it a bitching Camaro?
Probably. And then they got to the end of the road, and my dad was like doing this math in his head, and he's like, wait a minute. We just drove 75 miles in like 50 minutes. We need to take 20.
Yeah.
real quick.
Everybody pull over and poop.
we're gonna visit the gas station for a second. That's between the lanes.
Yeah. Yeah. The clever ways the police would do that.
Because like that's what's even worse is it's like your average speed. Not like your max speed.
Right.
It's like they pull you over and it's like your average speed was 92 miles an hour for you to get here this fast. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Well, that happened. Yeah, around here in the, like when I was in high school, we used to have the, what my friends referred to as the flying pigs, the state troopers that had helicopters. And what they did is they had markings on the highway and they'd track a vehicle from the time it hit one mark to the time it hit another. And that's how they did the average speeds.
They have that in Virginia.
Yeah. The whole way through West Virginia, you'll just be driving down the road and then suddenly you'll cross a white stripe all the way across the road.
A huge white stripe. Yeah.
Then you slam on the brakes so that by the time you hit that next white stripe, your average speed makes
it's
sense.
It's like that in when you cross over the border into California from Arizona too.
Really?
It's long stretches of desert. Like, they're like, why not?
Oh, yeah. You
know? I never understood, like, is that really cost effective? Is that a cost effective way to pull people over?
I don't know.
To be flying your motherfucking jet plane over the highways. Like, how much money does it cost to drive a plane?
I would assume an operating cost for a plane is at least a few hundred dollars an hour. Minimum,
like
you're paying
at least,
and I'm not. That's not counting. That's assuming you already own the plane and you're not making payments or leasing it or anything like that. Like you already own the plane outright. That's probably like fuel plus pilot plus spotter is at least $300 or $400 an hour.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, like you think. Yeah.
So helicopters.
They don't
I think
even
are
really
worse.
Have to do. Have you ever been pulled over in that situation?
I've seen people pull over that situation. No. I've never been pulled over in that situation.
No, I have not.
They used to do it in Springfield.
Do you know
Illinois
anybody
too.
Like?
Do I know
personally?
I don't think so.
I think it's a myth.
I heard rumors of it in high school.
That's all they need.
But it was rumors.
That's they only need people to think.
Yeah, there was also one asshole who said he was driving through O'Fallon doing 90, and then he saw a cop and he slammed on his brakes and skidded sideways. Like this whole elaborate story he was telling. He goes, "Well, I don't know exactly how fast I was going. But when I skidded sideways in front of the cop's radar gun, he clocked me doing 65, skidding sideways." I'm like, I smell some bullshit. But
and
like,
then
everybody
my
else,
trunk
every-
opened yeah. And a flock of bald eagles burst out. Caw-caw, caw-caw!
Yeah.
Killed the cop.
Yeah.
Singing the national anthem.
Yeah, and they just give me a warning because everybody knows me. I gave him a beer later that week.
I can't remember where we were, but it was at night and
was
we were
it
doing
Missouri.
No, it was at night and we were doing it about I don't know how fast we're going. It was well over the speed limit in Kayla's car.
Which car?
In your Cobalt. Okay. And I was like, "Oh fuck, that was a cop back there." So I pulled off on the next exit.
Oh, that was
and the that cop drove.
That was when
past.
We were going to West Virginia to visit Ben that, right after
that was.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that would not have been a good ticket.
It was
ticket.
Like 3 years ago.
That would not have been a good ticket.
It had just started snowing and it was night, so like it was flurrying, but there was a lot of cars on the road.
There were a
but
lot
yeah.
of cars, and that's why we got away.
Because you were freaking out, and I was like, pull off.
Yeah.
Legally, they're not allowed to do anything. If they lose like sight of you,
yeah,
and it's easy if with the snow and the darkness, like
yeah,
and the traffic and the lights from the other traffic. No, yeah I slipped in front of a truck and then took the next exit. And as we were taking the exit, we saw the cop pass on.
You could see him looking.
Yeah,
he was looking.
And then after that, we got back on the highway and kept going. And he had just pulled off on the next.
Yeah, we were like.
But yeah, he would. I think he would have got me for like 25 or 30 over.
Yeah.
That would have not been great. Especially since on the way back,
we did get pulled over.
We did get pulled over for 11 over. And the cop was like,
West Virginia is ridiculous.
The cop was like, yeah,
West Virginia is
11 over is a misdemeanor here. And I'm like, what?
We were like, what?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, that shocked me because in St. Louis,
it's 25.
In St. Louis, the speeding tickets don't start until 11 over.
Yeah, they don't start.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fucking.
He was like, yeah, I'm going to put it as 10. Technically, you were 11, but I'm going to put it as 10 so that you don't have to come here for court. And we're like, that's good because we weren't coming back for 11 miles per hour over the speed limit for a fucking misdemeanor.
Yeah, I'm sure I would have presented this to a St. Louis judge and they would have been like, holy shit, that's crazy. Fucking, yeah. I don't think I've been pulled over for anything less than 15 over in St. Louis.
So I got pulled over for 10.
Really?
Yeah. That one was for 10 and the other one was for 15, maybe? I don't know.
I know I got pulled over. It was in your car again.
My car attracts.
I never got pulled over in the Mustang.
My car attracts. I know. And it was the same color.
When I got pulled over...
No, was your Mustang... Your Mustang was blue.
My Mustang was red.
I don't remember.
Holy fuck. My Mustang was red.
I don't care about your Mustang.
And when I got pulled over my truck, I never got a ticket either.
I don't even want to talk about you getting pulled over in our truck. I was with him the first time he ever gets pulled over. He gets, like, I don't know, like a hand job or something from the cop. Like, it was stupid.
So I was...
I get pulled over for the first time in my entire life, and I get a ticket immediately in St. Louis. I was so mad. I am the only person I know of, the first time they get pulled over, they got a ticket.
I got pulled over for 53 and a 35.
Was it in St. Louis?
No, it was in Champaign, Illinois.
Oh, wow.
I got pulled over for 53 and a 35 in my truck with Kayla in the car. And my initial reaction was...
53 and a 35?
Yeah, hold on. My initial reaction was, I wonder why they're pulling me over. Because the speed limit on the road wasn't marked. And in Illinois, that means it's 55. But apparently it was marked on the other side of the stoplight that I had just come from. So I didn't see it.
Oh, that's
and
good.
And the cop's like, do you know why I pulled you over? I'm like, no. He's like, you were doing 53 and a 35. And I'm like,
to be clear, this was like a back dirt road too.
Yeah.
So like, it probably wasn't 55. Let's just.
Like, he pulled me over and the next words out of my mouth were, that's a 35. I'm like, there's no sign.
I got nailed for doing 42 and a 25.
Nice.
So, coming from the rural part of Illinois into Champaign, because, like, in Champaign, Urbana, like, I think I was actually technically pulled over in Urbana. And, like, just north of the town proper is, like, where the shopping area is. So, we were there and driving back to our apartment. And driving back, like, it's a double lane road with a divided, like, median in between. So, I mean, it's like, it's super wide open. So I'm thinking, it's got to be at least 40 to 25.
Ugh.
And I got nailed.
25?
Yeah.
That's four lane highway with a...
It's not a four lane highway. It's a four lane divided road.
Oh.
That's like... So, there's apartment buildings and everything. There's side streets. But yeah,
that's 25 like that, is ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
That's like that strip of Olive Boulevard in University City has a speed limit of 25.
It just drops for no reason.
It's exactly like
from
that.
From 40 to 35 straight to 25.
No, it's like 35.
Yeah, 40 to 35 to 25.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure is how it drops. So to put that in perspective, the fucking dead end subdivision has a speed limit of 25. Fucking Olive Boulevard is a four-lane highway.
At that point, it's not, though.
Isn't it?
The point where it drops down to 25, it...
Is it only two lanes?
Yeah.
Oh,
or it might be three if you count, like, there might be, like, a turn lane.
So my experience was, you know, I did the research and, like, you need to show up in court. I was like, you can pay the fine, or if you want court supervision, you have to go to court to get it. You have to ask for it. So I show up, and, like I have to sit through all of these things.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
What I learned is there are a lot of these motherfuckers that get out of it by saying, yeah, I had faulty equipment. So they pay the attorney. They pay an attorney to show up for him. Mm-hmm. The attorney submits some paperwork that basically says they went to a shop that says, yeah, they had a faulty gauge and it's been fixed.
Nice.
And so they get a reduced sentence.
Nice.
Like then is driving, like I think that's actually a non-moving violation.
That's what I did. I didn't go do it myself, but when my second time I got a ticket, I didn't want another mark on my record.
Right.
I don't know how many points you're allowed to have in Missouri. Is it 3?
Missouri has points. The thing is I live in Illinois, so fuck Missouri and their points.
Well, they don't have points here? You don't get points on your license?
Nope.
Fuck. Nope. Well, I have 1 point on my license because the first time I got a ticket, I was just young and mm-hmm. sweet and adorable, and I didn't do anything about it. And the second time, I was like, fuck this. Like, I got money, like... just threw some money at an attorney, and then I get a piece of paper, and it's like, we got this reduced to a non-moving violation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom, like, I put it up on the fridge. So proud of it. And my mom came out from California. She's like, how the fuck did you get... I don't remember. It must have been the one where I was doing 15.
It was a noise complaint, I think.
It just said non-moving violation. Okay. She's like, how the fuck did you get a speeding ticket reduced to a non-moving violation?
It's great.
I don't know.
It's great.
Magic.
So yeah. What?
A crisp $100 bill. So, that's how much.
So, yeah. So I show up and I'm waiting. And like, I get the sense really, really quickly that there are other people asking for court supervision. And the judge is like, he is just this cranky old fuck. Like, he is just like, he was not having anybody's bullshit. And he's like, all right. To ask for supervision, first you need to plead guilty.
That's not how that works.
In Illinois, apparently it was. Because it's at that point, it's part of the sentencing.
Okay.
So you...
Court supervision is the sentence.
Court supervision is the sentence.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to plead guilty. There has to be a judgment on record. So if you plead guilty, then he accepts your plea. Then he can immediately go to sentencing, which is what happens. Well, there was some dude in there. He's like, yeah, I want to ask for court supervision. He goes, how many times have you asked for court supervision? He's like, well, I did one about 10 years ago and then one about 5 years ago. And he's like, huh? Because according to this, you've asked for it 3 times in the last 4 years. we accept your guilty plea. And here's your fine. And it was like $500 or something like that. He's like, be lucky I don't call you for contempt. I was like, oh, shit. Wow. You know, at this point, and I'm still waiting, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
It's probably the most excitement that traffic court judge has had in a long time.
I'm like 19 years old.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, I would have been about 20. So I'm just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so fucked. I am so fucked.
I've never done this, but this dude is going to crucify me.
Yeah, I am not a townie. Yeah. You know, I am from somewhere else in Illinois. It's like, I think I was probably lucky that he didn't recognize my hometown was from somewhere in Chicago.
Around Chicago?
No, what I'm saying is, I'm lucky it wouldn't have been around, because like at that point, I think he would just throw the book at me. Because
like dumb.
Yeah, they just don't give a fuck. So I had to pay a fee, and I got court supervision. It was wiped from the record in like a year and a half or something like that.
So what Kayla did with her ticket, I'm going to explain how this works real quick for those who don't know. Basically,
didn't I just explain it?
Well, you paid
slide a $100 bill over to an attorney. You look away, and then all your problems disappear.
Well, I'm going to explain what the attorney does.
Were you there?
No, but I know how it works. So what happens is,
why don't we call Julie down?
The attorney says
you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know it all.
Your attorney calls the prosecuting attorney or the judge or whoever or the court clerk and says,
let's make out.
We're going to challenge this, or we'll turn it into a non-moving violation and give you an extra $50. So now that municipality has to decide, oh, fuck, if they challenge it, we have to bring in the police officer for a court date, and they could be issuing tickets the whole time they're out.
Yeah.
So we're going to lose that money. And then our best case scenario is, they still pay us the $75 or whatever for this ticket. Or I take the extra $50 on top of the original fine, turning it into a non-moving violation, and we don't have to do that.
Yeah.
They basically bank on the fact that you're not going to come in and contest it in court.
Right.
Whenever you get a violation.
And the one time I was going into court to contest one was because of an illegal speed camera. And they drop the case.
Yeah.
That day. I'm sure what they're doing is if you contest it, they just drop the case.
I mean, the police chief of St. Louis straight up came out and was like, this shit's illegal. It's just a money grab. It's not ethical. Like, we won't.
Yeah. 6 months before that, I got nailed by one. Mm-hmm.
They're legal.
I didn't stop on a red. It wasn't a video, but it was like a series of stills. And it's like,
that's almost worse.
Boop.
They're like
boop,
slides. Boop. They're like, and the next one.
Here's a flip book.
Here's 1 second later. Here's another second. And like, no stop. No hesitation. Just smoothly around that right turn. Like, no hesitation. It was like, oh, fuck. Yep, that. I did that. Honey, where's the checkbook?
So Missouri's constitution says you can't enforce traffic penalties or any penalties that are purely financial.
Right.
Where the motivation is purely financial.
Yeah.
And the way the red light and the speed cameras work in Missouri is they don't assess points against your license. They don't improve the safety of anything. It's strictly just financial.
Because they can't prove who was actually driving the car.
Yeah. So
somehow you got that ticket even though it was my car?
It was Kayla's car.
Oh, well, because your name is on the title.
It was like a month and a half after the incident, so I was like, which one of us is driving the car? Like, I don't even fucking remember.
Yeah.
Like,
and they give you like a picture, and you can't see who's driving the car.
Yeah.
Oh, mine was like, it's right at Van Deventer and Southwest, and it was like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was like, oh, yeah, that's me.
Ours was like,
I went to lunch that day. I think I remember exactly what day that was.
Ours was like on a Saturday, and we were going to the Loop for something.
We were on a park. We were in Vanita Park.
That's where
which is a place that we never go.
Yeah, we didn't know. Apparently, they have about a quarter mile of a strip of Page or not Page. Was that Page?
Yeah. We don't usually go that far down Page.
Wow.
And they had a speed camera set up, and I'm pretty sure they've removed it at this point.
Yeah.
Because I haven't gotten any more in the mail.
They had to. That whole summer, that was the big thing, was speeding
cameras. Yeah. Well, it wasn't just speeding. It was for the red light, too.
Yeah. Right,
speed,
yeah.
Speed cameras.
Because they actually, like, studies prove that they actually increase
traffic accidents.
Oh, I've almost seen accidents where people, you'd be going along and you'd see that flash and people would slam on their brakes like in the middle of an intersection.
Yeah.
Like,
you freak out. Like, what the fuck?
And normally where you'd see it is where someone was turning left across a light. So like they legitimately have a green left arrow. And so they're turning across. So the light goes off. And it's like, whoa, and everybody like freaks out for a second.
Yeah. The one at Olive and 270 always freaked me out because it would do that. Like every time I went through that light, I was like, what the fuck?
I was like, why is it flashing?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's fucking
bright. But even
just
seeing those cameras is enough to make people like way more cautious. And like you slam on your brakes to try to hit a red light when really you shouldn't be. You should be, you know, it's yellow, so you should be proceeding, but you slam on your brakes because you don't want to have a chance that red light says that you ran a red light.
Yeah.
So you cause a collision.
So they're only legal in Missouri in like school zones and construction zones. In Illinois, I don't think they have those restrictions. I think in Illinois, speed cameras and red light cameras are legal everywhere.
Except I don't know that I know where any of them are in Illinois.
You have one on the light at Greenmount Road turning off of 64.
I think they still have them up in St. Louis.
I mean, you got to pay some guy to take them down.
Right.
And they're not the city's property because the city leases the equipment and the service from somebody else. So they're not going to come get them.
Yeah.
Get them.
I'm pretty sure when I got my ticket, it was signed off by some dude in Kentucky. Not even a guy.
Yeah, it's just all outsourced at that point.
Yeah. Another fun one, Arizona, they passed the law so that you had to see the picture, the driver's face of the car who was speeding.
Oh, yeah.
So in Arizona, everybody started wearing ski masks.
Nice.
That's a real thing.
Everyone?
Like around Phoenix,
I was asking my cousin about that.
Around okay. Phoenix, everybody fucking goes 110 in the sixth. When
I bet not everyone in Arizona is wearing ski masks because it's hot as hell.
It's hot as
fuck. Like, would I rather wear a ski mask in 120 degree weather or would I rather get the speeding ticket? I'd get that speeding ticket.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the speeding ticket's a lot.
They already have enough to worry about.
Arizona is such a weird place.
Yeah, we got pulled over in Arizona. Why do we have so many of these stories? We got pulled over in Arizona.
In the middle of the fucking desert. 100 miles from civilization.
Wow.
There's cars everywhere, but this cop was such a dick. He was such a dick.
Yeah, he was a tool.
Alex had been speeding, so he sees the cop pull behind him. Mm-hmm. Alex is like, we're getting pulled over. So he pulls over. There happened to be a semi in this lane, but we pulled in behind him because Alex decides he's not going to run from the law this time. And
there wasn't an exit nearby
this time.
Yeah, there was no good way out. So we just like conceded we were going to take our lumps. And so he pulls in behind us. He turns on the lights. We pull over. He walks up on my side and he goes, why were you following that semi so close? And Alex is like trying to explain to him why. Like, we weren't following the semi so close. We were trying to, like, pull over.
I knew you were going to get me because I was speeding.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to catch up to turn your lights on.
So as Alex is talking to him, he asks for my ID. I'm sitting in the passenger seat and I'm like, what the fuck? And this was around
did
the time.
Did you get that out of the fridge?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that a problem?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Oh, that's hysterical. This is around the same time that they had just passed that law in Arizona that they could check anybody's ID, like, on the spot. They were doing ID checks for illegal immigrants.
Yeah, they passed the law in Arizona, but it's still illegal.
I mean, but we were in Arizona, and what was...
Yeah.
Fuck the police.
So he gives Alex a ticket, not for speeding. He gives him a ticket for following a semi too close.
Yeah, because that semi can stop on a fucking dime. Whereas us in this two-door sports car might have some trouble.
Right.
Again, in your car.
We haven't even been following the semi.
Your car.
I know. My car is just so, like, sporty and attractive that people are just like, they know whoever's driving it is up to no good.
Nobody looks at the Volt twice. I'm going to put that out there.
They know that you're some, like, white yuppie.
No, I think
white. Like, white vegetarian, like... possibly vegan, like...
I think what happens is they see 80 miles an hour flash on the radar gun, and then they look up at the Volt, and then they look back at their radar gun, and there's something wrong with this.
Yeah, there must be some electrical interference yeah. with that electric vehicle.
That's not a thing that happens.
Oh. You know what makes for great podcasting? Talking about traffic law for 45 minutes.
Mm. We go so firebomb a police station. Over.
I was visiting a friend in southern Missouri, actually down near the lake, and I was driving back, and like there's nothing between here and there, so I was driving along 44.
Southern Missouri?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, driving along 44, and going,
not
you know,
even cell service down 44.
Yeah. I was going, well, this was a while ago. I might have had a cell phone at the time. Anyway, you know, like, after you get past 270, where it goes from, like, the Wild West to 45 miles an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it just, like, instantly changes over. I was still going 60. Just tooling right through St. Louis. And got nailed. It was some municipality right along 44, like,
what
Webster
down there is that,
or...
Afton?
Maybe it was
is
past it was past Sunset Hills.
Pacific.
No.
Oh no, you're more.
No,
in
I was
St.
more.
Louis.
I was more in St. Louis.
Oh,
yeah. Like it, I think it was past Sunset Hills, so maybe like Webster.
Webster,
somewhere around there. So yeah. So like he gives me the ticket. And I'm like, all right. So do I just can I just pay this? He goes, no. You have to show up. I'm like I can't mail this in. No, you have to come to the courthouse and take care of it. Okay. Like, you have to go to the courthouse to pay. The billing window was only open certain times a day.
Ugh.
Certain days of the week. It was the weirdest bullshitty thing. Like it got to a point where it's like, I just want to pay this thing and be done with it. Because it's in Missouri. They're like, oh, well, you're going to get points against your license. Yeah. Yeah. Boom. Here's your points. Yeah. I got two of them.
I got 2 points for you right here.
Like, I don't care. What does that mean? Oh, well, you could have your Missouri license taken away if you get enough points. It was like, what if I don't have a Missouri license? Oh, well, that could affect your future of getting a Missouri license.
Okay.
Perfect. Good.
I'm sorry, sir.
Good to know. Yeah.
All the states share information now.
They do so now. They didn't.
That ticket that I got in Arizona, I apparently didn't pay it soon enough.
You didn't pay it?
I remember hearing about this.
And my license was suspended for a year and a half without me knowing.
How did we find that out? We were going to drive to Minneapolis. No, we got back from Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah. We had already driven to Minneapolis.
How did you find that out?
Oh, we had to get our licenses renewed.
Oh, yeah. We went to get our licenses renewed, and they're like, they asked you, like, have you ever had your license suspended for any reason? No, absolutely not.
Well, your license is suspended.
Excuse me, sir.
I'm like,
I'm going to ask you again. I'm going to need you to tell me the truth.
They're like, your license is suspended. What now? They're like, your license is suspended. So apparently Arizona said that my license, that I didn't pay the ticket, but then they never sent a response back saying that I did pay the ticket. So Missouri suspended my license and never reactivated it. And like, it was a clusterfuck because I had the receipt from the ticket. I'm like, hey, here's my proof of payment. And they're like, I can't accept this. You need to send us this form. So I call Arizona and they're like, that is that form. And I went back to the person. I'm like, they tell me this is the form. And they're like, oh, okay. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You guys have some automated system to suspend my license. But I guess the developer went on vacation for the part of the job where he was supposed to reactivate it, like, automatically. Like, I don't.
So I have a friend who recently was traveling, and on their way back to Iowa, where they live, she got pulled over in Kansas for expired tags on her Iowa plates.
How does that work?
In Kansas. The best thing is that it's a misdemeanor. Yeah. She had to go back to Kansas to go to court. Unless she would have gotten an attorney, she drove back to Kansas. She did this on Easter weekend because her court date was earlier this week. So on Easter weekend, they drive back there to go to court. She got nailed for a $330 in fines and court costs, a 30-day suspended jail sentence, and 30 days unsupervised probation.
Unsupervised probation, also known as nothing.
Yeah.
And a 30-day suspended jail sentence, also known as nothing.
Nothing.
Except it's on your record. Except
now it's on your record.
So anytime you're, like, you get asked.
You have been arrested. Yeah. You have been arrested and served 30 days in jail. It's time served.
I think it's, it's not on the applications for misdemeanors, though, is it? It's felonies.
It's felonies.
Right. I mean, for everything. It just depends on, like, it's just on your record.
Yeah.
Like, that's absolutely ridiculous. Aren't there some states that don't even have inspection? Like,
Illinois.
She actually had to go through intake, like, fingerprinted and everything.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Because she had to go to jail.
That's outrageous.
Yeah. Yeah,
first of all, that is the sentence for having a
expired
inspection sticker.
No, expired licenses.
Oh, expired licenses.
Expired tags.
Oh.
In Missouri, I don't even think you can pull somebody over for expired tags. I think that's a secondary offense. Yeah. Like,
it's like an add-on, like an Amazon add-on. You need to have something else in the cart. Yeah. The thing is that's not even the max. The max sentence is $1,000 and 6 months in jail for a misdemeanor.
For tags?
For a misdemeanor. And that's a misdemeanor.
That's fucking ridiculous.
The max sentence for the tags, because it was a misdemeanor, could have been $1,000 and 6 months in jail.
I would have been like, well,
I'm reading from her Facebook post.
6 months in jail? Can you imagine spending 6 months in jail because...
What are you in for?
It's jail, not prison, so it's not like...
What? So it's not, like, a normal what are you in
for? Yeah, but see, this is the kind of fucked up thing, though, that I don't like the look of your skin color.
Right.
So we're going to, you know, charge you $1,000, which you don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
And put you in jail for 6 months, which means you won't have money for a long time.
Yeah, we're going to ruin your life.
Yeah.
We're going to ruin your life over expired tags.
Right.
over this system that we've put in place that's already, like, really weird to navigate. Like,
from another state.
Yeah.
From another state.
Yeah, dealing with shit with your car is ridiculous. Getting inspections, getting your, like, tags renewed.
I'm so glad I don't have to deal with any taxes, of that bullshit.
Like,
personal property. I'm so glad.
All of that.
We don't have to do any of that.
You pay for it more in your licensing fees.
There's too much.
We do, but it's not personal property.
In Maine, it's worse. I felt like in Maine, it was even worse.
In Maine, your fucking DMV, no, not your DMV, your driver's education was privatized. So you had to pay, was it like $500 just to take driver's ed in high school?
Yeah, we had to pay $250.
Oh, for me, I think it was $20.
Yeah, well, it's gone up quite a bit since then.
When I took driver's ed, they're like, your portion of the driver's ed car's insurance for this term is $20. Here you go.
Yeah, it was $250 for Holden.
But I'm not even talking about driver's ed or anything like that. I'm just talking about if you have a car. Yeah. I felt like in Maine it was different. No, it's not much different from Missouri, but I remember it's way different than Illinois.
Illinois is super easy. I mean, it's like, it's $100.
You don't have inspections
sometimes
unless you're in Chicago.
Or Madison County.
Madison County has inspections.
And they have for a long time.
Okay.
Because.
Is it just emissions or safety too?
I think it's mostly emissions. Because we lived in Edwardsville right after we got married. And then we moved here. And like at one point there was a truck fire in a postal van. So like. Months after we moved here, I get this piece of like shredded mail that's from the Madison County DMV saying I have to go for inspection for emissions testing. Like, and my car wasn't gonna pass. So like I took it in and they're like, oh, you need this work and this work and this work done. So I got some work done, paid a couple $100, which didn't really have because I was out of work at the time, and like it was just a shitty scene. So went back the second time. They're like, if you don't pass this time, you have to wait a period of time before we can do this again. It was like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
That's ridiculous.
And so the guy was like, he's like, let me see what I can do to help. He goes, this form is so fucked up. What happened here? And I was like, so we lived in Edwardsville and this happened and then we moved and it took a while for them to get the mail and it was half shredded. Like when I got it, it was in a plastic bag.
Like an evidence bag.
Yeah, because it was so messed up. Like the only way they could hold everything together was to throw it in another bag. So I got this and he was like, wait a minute. Did you say you moved? I was like, yeah. He's like, where do you live? I said, oh, Fallon. Do you have proof of that? So I pulled out my driver's license. Like, I had enough time that I had a new driver's license and everything. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, here. And he goes, oh, you're good. I was like, what do you mean I'm good? Do you know how much money I put into this fucking car? What do you mean I'm good?
Test it again.
No, make this work. Make this right. He's like, yeah, that's just a Madison County thing. He's like, you're in St. Clair County now. You're good. I was like, are you shitting me? And he's like, no, buddy, I'm sorry. That sucks. That really sucks. But you're good to go. Like, all right, then.
So the nice thing about having an electric car is I don't have to get emissions done
anymore. Yeah.
Still have to get safety done. But
I feel like in Maine, there's another inspection you have to do.
Maine was crazy. Maine was like, you can't have a rust spot bigger than
it.
Like your
a
fist.
Quarter. It's bigger than like a quarter.
A quarter. Yeah.
Wow.
When I heard about that,
I was
like.
Is it a quarter or your fist? I know that they're very specific about
it. It was
rust.
A very Holy small shit. Size. Because as soon as I heard about that, I'm like, 50% of the vehicles in Southern Illinois would not pass this inspection.
No kidding.
Like,
I don't know why that is.
Like,
why that's a rule. I know that they're bigger about like the environment up there.
Because I remember talking to...
That's not what that is.
I remember talking to somebody up there, and they were like...
probably
they said that they had to take... They basically, to pass the inspection, they took the bed of their truck off, because...
Who the fuck were you talking to about this?
I don't remember. It was when I was visiting you in Maine. Somebody was like, yeah, to pass the inspection, I took the bed of my truck off.
Some guy at a gas station.
Because the bed of my truck was rusted, which has absolutely no impact on the safety of the vehicle.
Yeah.
But... because the rusty bed wasn't on it, it passed inspection. Then he put the bed back on it and kept driving it. Like, it was so stupid.
And it's a huge problem because of, like, all the salt they use.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Up there.
You get the least little bit of scratch and it just fucked your car up big time.
Everybody has to drive. Everybody should just drive Corvettes. Problem solved.
Gross.
They're made out of fiberglass. No rust.
Not going to do it. They're also wicked poor. Probably because they have to spend so much on
vehicle maintenance.
Yeah. Well, they're the highest taxed, lowest paid state or something like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think they still
are. That's why we buy all our booze in New Hampshire. No sales tax.
You're supposed to pay sales tax.
Literally, as soon as you cross the border into New Hampshire,
Delaware,
like there's nothing around. You just cross the border. The only thing there is a giant liquor store.
It's like the
drive-through liquor store in East St. Louis that everybody used to, and in Missouri used to come over on Sundays when Illinois still had where you couldn't buy booze on Sunday. Yeah, they were dry on Sundays. So, like, you would see a line of cars getting off in East St. Louis. It's like, what are all these white people doing in East St. Louis? And, like, they'd pull off. There's a liquor store. That it was a drive-through liquor store. And,
Missouri made the money back on the decades of when Illinois had it fireworks banned.
True.
Because you would drive across the bridge into Missouri, and there would just be fireworks stands on the side everywhere. Of the fucking highway.
Everywhere.
Like,
illegal to sell. Questionably legal to use.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. So the way the law was written in Illinois, you weren't allowed to purchase the fireworks, and technically you weren't allowed to bring them across the state lines.
Technically, you're not allowed to transport.
But
like the laws are really squirrely. It's like, where did you get these fireworks? Because you're not allowed to transport them. They just appeared here.
They're here.
They've been in my family for generations.
These were passed down from my great grandpappy, fireworks magnate. Back in the olden days,
Richard Black Cat Phillips. Oh, your pappy was Dick Black Cat Phillips. Yeah, bring him. Send him off.
I've been hearing a lot about him.
When he married into the Bottle Rocket Clan. Yeah.
Had that crazy in child Maine? Called Moon Whistler.
Yeah.
They just made fireworks legal in Maine recently.
Well, because the state's 99% forest.
It's 99% going to go up in flames at any minute. But we didn't, nobody ever used fireworks where I was at because I lived in, the very middle. There were no borders to cross.
Yeah, it would take you, 7 hours to get out
of
the
state. I remember,
the
big thing was in sixth grade, we used to take, I don't think they do this anymore, probably because of...
Probably because of the story you're about to tell.
But the big thing was, we would go to Canada. We'd go to Quebec. Uh-huh. So, kids would try to smuggle fireworks.
Oh, that's a... See, when you're crossing...
There was a story. So, in eighth grade, they used to... there was this big lake in the middle of Maine called Moosehead Lake. And there's this big... What is the... It's not like a paddle boat, but I don't know what type of boat you call it.
Pontoon boat?
I don't know. Kind of. It was like multi... level and
houseboat.
I don't know, but it's just a big ass boat that you would take, they would take out into the lake, and I never got to go on it, so this is why I don't really know a lot about it.
Fuck this,
because this was the big eighth grade trip. I was in seventh grade. My brother's class was in eighth grade. My brother's class goes. Craig Cunningham. I will never forget this.
Fuck you, Craig.
Craig Cunningham jumps off the boat. And it's this huge, this does not happen. It is this huge thing. It's like icy cold water. Like you're gonna die. So the trip is banned forever for everyone else because Craig fucking Cunningham. I hope you're listening to this because I will never forget that we didn't get to go on that trip.
Oh.
I don't remember who tried to smuggle the fireworks. There was some trickster kid in my class who tried to smuggle fireworks.
Smuggling fireworks across state lines? I'll do that any fucking
Not
any
just
fucking
state
day.
Lines.
Yeah. The national border is a different story.
It's actually harder to get into Canada than it is to come back.
Is it?
Yeah. We got turned around at the border of Canada because my stepdad had something on his record. Some domestic dispute. They were like, yeah, we don't let your kind in here. I was like, I don't blame you.
I don't blame you. Can I still go in?
Yeah,
can
I?
See, when we went to Canada... I think this was probably 81 or 82. We just went.
Yeah.
you just went.
I think you need a passport now.
You do.
Yeah.
You need a passport to leave the country.
You didn't when we went.
To go to Mexico, to go to Canada, you need a passport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when we went with my grandparents. We went to Niagara. And so we stayed on the stateside, but like all the touristy stuff is in Canada from, you know, at that point, at least from what I remember. So we went over and I had no idea like about the experience, and I had some money like from allowance and from, you know, mowing lawns or whatever. So I was buying stuff and they're like, I'd pay my money and they're like, oh, here. And like, well, no, it says it's $2. Here's $2. And they give me change. I'm like, I don't understand. I gave you $2. And they're like, there's an exchange rate. And this is Canadian. And like, just here. I was like, is this like reverse tax? Or like, we've taken tax out already. I'm like, I don't understand.
What's going on?
I'm like 11 years old. I'm like, I don't understand. Why are you? Wait, these are Canadian coins. This is, all right. More souvenirs.
Ooh, Canadian rupees.
Yeah. Yeah, my 11-year-old brain just did not get that at all.
I think I was 11 when I went to.
That's funny. I am told that I went to Canada, but I don't remember it. I was apparently one. My parents went with me.
So you didn't go?
Yeah, I was not conscious.
That's like my mom saying, oh yeah, we took you to Disneyland. You were like 3 months old. I'm like, really? Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'll cherish these memories.
Yeah. That's like when we took Erin when she was 7 months old.
Right.
There's a lot of pictures of me holding the baby. There's a really good one of me holding the baby with Chippendale.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
With a Chippendales dancer?
Yeah.
What nice. The fuck? Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, because, like, everyone else was doing stuff. I'm like, I get the baby. Like, I don't want to fucking be here. I'm going to go find someplace cool because it's fucking Florida in fucking July.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah.
We went to Florida and
God, I wish we had just done it like 1 month later or something. Like it was
Yeah, we went to Florida in August.
So fucking hot.
When the yeah. St. Louis weather was near perfect.
Oh my god.
But Florida was 110.
Florida weather doesn't get nice until like October.
Yeah.
Even then it's a little warm. Like when we did our Florida trip in October, it wasn't bad, but like, well, still,
if we'd been doing like a beach trip, I mean, we did do the water park, that was kind of cool.
The water park day was fantastic.
Yeah, because being in Universal Studios, no.
Oh,
it was
God.
Miserable.
By the time you walked through City Walk, you were just a fucking sweaty, like,
oh yeah,
wet mess. Like, it was like you didn't even get to a park yet. Like, you just walk to one of the parks and you're like, I'm done.
Yeah,
that
we
place
were spending,
was so cool, though.
We were spending $20 a day just in bottles of water apiece.
Yeah.
You know, and like, legitimately, I lost in the 4 or 5 days we were there, I lost like 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just water, just constantly sweating. Also, like after that, it's like, it just don't feel like eating. Like, food just doesn't even sound good.
Yeah. When you're that hot, like,
felt nauseated.
We
the whole
were
time.
Going back after sundown for dinner.
Yeah.
And there were days where we would get back to the room and just take a 3 hour nap.
Right.
And it was just heat exhaustion. Like I remember the day we got back from the water park.
If you guys are, I know you're going to the beach.
Yeah.
But if you're ever heading back there for like another family vacation, I would highly recommend Volcano Bay, the resort that's attached to Universal Studios.
Oh, it was super fucking slick.
I'm not going back.
You're never going back.
I have no intention of going back to Orlando.
Oh, hey, fair. That's fair.
Julie and Erin are already planning their next trip.
They should go. They would absolutely love Volcano Bay.
They're going to stay on Disney property again.
Oh, Disney.
Yeah.
It was pretty slick, except for we didn't get to bowl. Why didn't we get to bowl? Oh, they were booked.
I'm not a big bowler.
I mean, we were just looking for something to do to pass the time.
It was just such a cool resort.
When we went, we stayed at the Nickelodeon Suites,
mm-hmm.
which it's not the Nickelodeon Suites anymore. I don't remember.
They may have bulldozed it and made Volcano Bay.
No, it's not.
The Nick at Night
Suites. Not because it's real near the they sold it to somebody else, and I want to say it's like Holiday Inn or something. So like the property just changed hands, but it's right outside of Disney proper. So, like, we stayed at these, like, all the rooms are suites. We spent, like, I want to say it was like $80 a night because we stayed for 10 days. Yeah. And we were like literally from where we were until we were on Disney property, it was 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it was fantastic, like how close we were. And because most of the stuff we were doing was Disney at the time. Mm-hmm. And Holden's already like, yeah, I'm not going to Disney again. He goes, I'll go back to Universal.
I'm not interested in Disney.
The only thing I would do again is I would go to Epcot again.
Epcot, yeah.
But I would only go during October during their Food and Wine Festival.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I'm in.
Yeah, that's what I said. Well, that's what I said. Because we were talking about this with my folks the other night, and I was like, the only way I would even do that is with a group of adults. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to do that with the kids while they're still kids. You know, like when they become of drinking age,
yeah,
or at least errands of driving age.
Oh, that's the sweet
spot. Take care of yourself age.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, that's the designated driver age. No,
that's
age.
The designated driver age. When she's 17, the other three of us can drink. We have a designated driver.
Nice.
No, like, because even that day, like, I had a good time at Epcot, but it was me by myself. Like, mm-hmm. like I kept trying to get them to go with me to do the things. They're like, we just want to sit. You go do your thing. And Epcot's like a big loop around a lake.
Mm-hmm.
We get halfway around the lake and they're like, we are done. We can get on this boat right here and it will take us across the lake. We will meet you on the other side. All right. See you on the other side. And by the time we left, I was walking sideways. I had such a good time.
Epcot's like the cultural center, is it? Is it the one where it's like, this is like Spain and
yes.
this is...
Yeah. Yeah, every station is a different country. It actually was really cool. And it was the first year that they had added Scotland to the Food and Wine Festival tour, so I could do a flight of scotches. So that was... Yeah.
A flight of scotches.
I did a flight of scotches.
I bet you were flying.
I sure was. We're all getting ready to be done, and we're at one of the gift shops, and I'm like, man, this is great. Can we stay? And Julie's like, you've never wanted to stay at any of these Disney things by this point in the day. You're done. I was like, yeah, but now I'm drunk.
Yeah.
And I know I spent more money that day than I did anywhere else, because like every station you're buying food and wine.
Yeah.
And it's like you buy this little tray of whatever this Korean dish is or whatever this Swedish dish is.
What do they call tiny... What
tapas.
Is it? Tapas.
Tapas.
It's like you're buying
yes.
tapas.
Yep. And it was like $8.
Yeah.
Every one of them was like $8. And then you were buying drinks for like $12.
So
I spent like $150 by myself walking around and maybe had about a meal's worth of food.
Yeah.
But was walking out drunk. So I was like, this is great. This Perfect. Is the best... Go Disney!
Yeah, Disney's amazing. My mom loves Disney. She wanted us to go to Disneyland so bad. I'm just like...
I might do Disneyland, but
Disneyland's different because it's much smaller, and there's a lot of other things to... I mean, there's other things to do in Florida, I guess, but...
Whatever.
You could go get old and
you
die.
Could get drunk, and then the next day when you're hungover, make everybody drive you an hour to the ocean... So you can lie dying in the surf for 15 minutes and then make them
then put
get
a pound
you
of sand in the back of my car.
That will never leave to this day.
What?
Yeah, we got super drunk one night and I was like, we had already planned this. I wanted to go to the ocean really bad. We got super drunk, so I was hungover.
So
like,
I
so
went
hungover.
To bed.
I think this was the night that we drank absinthe.
Yeah, and you and David were looking at each other, making eye contact, begging the other to stop and say this was a good idea first.
Oh,
I had idea first.
Oh, we had one
this
of those.
Happens a lot.
Yeah,
but it was disgusting. And it
that was like
me up.
That was like the night you guys a couple weeks ago for birthday when you guys kept daring each other not to go to sleep.
Yeah, this happens a lot. So the next day, woke up super hungover. Somebody drives me to the ocean. I don't know who it is.
Me.
It was me.
But I was too drunk. Not too drunk. It was Tony. It was probably Tony. And because of the ocean, like, the beaches were empty. Apparently August is not beach season.
Also, we were there at like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Everybody else was still hungover in their hotel room.
Yeah.
We were all there.
They were
Everyone else in Florida. Yeah, everyone else in Florida.
They were setting up the lawn chairs. We got there before the employees who worked on the beach set up the beach.
Oh Jesus.
So I was just laying in the surf, so it's like hitting me like like we didn't bring any towels or anything, and I like because I was sitting in shorts and I was wearing shorts.
Oh yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
The water's like hitting sand and pushing it up into my shorts, so that like climbed in the car. I'm like damp, and like there's just sand falling out of me, and you'll never get rid of it.
No sand. No, it's sand. Just it's like glitter that way.
Yeah, and there was so much of it.
Are you proud? Are you proud of the amount, the sheer quantity?
Just feet.
Oh, and then on the fucking drive back, David and I had that fucking trip from hell.
I think we've already told this story on the podcast.
Hell yeah, like, yeah.
Fucking started with the ant infestation.
Yep.
Ended with my windshield being broken.
I felt like there was more I wanted to say about Ebbing, Missouri. But we got on such a tangent.
It's a good movie.
It's a really good movie. And there were some of the movies that I saw this year for the best picture, and it was like you can tell where the cutoff would have been. Like 15 years ago, 10 years ago, actually probably closer to just 10 years ago. 10 years ago, it got to a point where they went from there were only 5 best picture nominated movies. To now they're doing it that it can be anywhere up to 10, like depending on the number of votes they get.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, there's only going to be one. I think they're doing it kind of as a marketing thing, like because this year you got to see that there was this huge variety of movies.
Yeah.
That so people with different tastes could say, oh, I hope my movie wins. I feel like if this were the 5 movie days, that Ebbing, Missouri would have still been on the list.
Yeah.
From the movies that I've seen. I mean, I saw 8 of the 9 movies.
Wasn't Get Out the one? Oh, no, that was Best Original Screenplay.
It won Best Original Screenplay, yeah.
Okay.
Next week's movie, Shape of Water, won Best Picture.
That's right.
And
all I know about that is people keep saying that somebody fucks a fish monster, and I'm really confused as to how this looks.
True fact. You know, it's the best movie I've seen featuring fucking a fish monster, masturbation, and musical numbers.
Yes.
That I've ever seen.
I love that description.
That is an interesting combination. I don't know how to feel about it.
I know. Like, I walked out of that movie, and when I came home, because Julie knew I was excited to see that movie, and that was the last movie I saw on the second day, and I got home, and she's like, so you got to see it. It's like, yeah, I really liked it. Like, spoiler, I really liked that movie. And she's like, so what do you think will win? I was like, I really want to say Shape of Water, but there's no way in hell that movie's going to win. But for me, it's the one that should win. like legitimately, I thought it would have been whatever the politics of the day would have been. Because that happens sometimes with Oscar movies, that there's a politics in Hollywood at the moment that kind of drives which movie is going to make Best Picture.
I mean, that's at the forefront of whoever's mind.
Right. Exactly. It's kind of like the I'm trying to think of the right turn of phrase. The thing that is foremost in people's minds. And the thing was, I think maybe it was split this year because there was, I'm going to stereotype and pigeonhole some movies. But there was a period piece. There was a Spielberg movie. There was an African-American movie. There was a gay movie. There was a female-centric cast/writer-director movie. Yeah, you know, there were all of these things that could have been the topic, that hot topic of the day. But none of them, those were the things that won. It was the monster movie that won. So... And I'm good with that. I was really happy to see it win. Okay. So, spoiler, I'm going to say I loved the movie when we talk about it next week.
All right.
I was just, like,
I'll step competitively.
Perusing through an article from The New Yorker about this movie.
About the three billboards?
It's called The Feel-Good Fallacies of 3 Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Just from the language and, like, the beginning of it, it feels like they're specifically setting, talking about, like, the police station and, what do they say? The police are then shown at their Main Street station. They are lazy, racist, homophobic, and violent. At no point do they perform any recognizable police work. Blah, blah, blah. And then...
Oh, you've met police in rural Missouri.
Then they're talking about the billboards, and they said, no secrets have been revealed. No one has been libeled. Chief Willoughby is at ease with all he has done to find the murderer, and it's hard to see what real problem this provocation they're talking about, the message, could cause. Yet everybody, the film's director above all, pretends that this business of the billboards is terribly serious. Like, so they're, like, I feel like they're... So that the characters can attack one another and threaten one another, blah, blah, blah.
I think they're conflating. I think that article is conflating some things.
But also, like, maybe they don't understand, like, small town life. Like,
they must not.
That would be absolutely.
This is an article in the New Yorker.
In the New Yorker. Yeah. That would be absolutely reason.
Scandalous.
Yeah, that would be, like, people would be wilding.
Yeah. Like, you're talking bad about a beloved chief of police.
And nobody else has anything else to do.
Well, and also, it's starting to get around that he's got cancer.
Yeah.
Like, because when
you're talking about a police officer who's also dying of cancer. How dare you?
Because when he comes to her, he says, you know I'm sick. And she's like, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Like, and she's very sincere about it. Like, so you know.
At first, she's not.
Well.
She says, I know. And it wouldn't have had, like, as much of an impact when you're dead.
Right.
And so then he leaves. But that scene at the police station after she stabs the dentist, which was, like, awesome, where he spits blood.
Yeah.
Like, that like, about face of energy or whatever was happening in that scene where he's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And she's like, I know, baby. Like,
yeah, when he's, like, sprays blood all over
her. And, like, the fear in him and then, like, her realization where everything that they were, like, he's threatening her.
Yeah.
Like, in that scene right beforehand.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, boom. Like, something is happening. Like, they both know it's serious, and everything else is whatever.
Yeah, this... Everything else that's going on is bullshit, because this is important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is the important thing right now.
The dentist who got his own drill in his thumb and deserved it...
Yeah.
...is less important than the guy who just coughed a shitload of blood or sneezed... I can't remember. It was a cough or a sneeze.
Mildred, do you know anything about the dentist with the hole in his thumb? No. So you're saying you haven't seen? No.
Of course I didn't. And then the woman she's working with, she's like, you drilled a hole in the dentist's thumb? No, I didn't.
Did you burn down a police station? No. Stop asking me these questions.
That might have been my favorite scene. When they were at the police station and he was interrogating her. And then just that switch. I mean, that also showed her compassion. And it felt like another genuine moment.
It showed that they both knew that they were fighting, but this wasn't part of the fight.
Right.
This
is outside of the scope of the fight.
Yeah. You know, it's like when you're arguing with your siblings and then one of them actually gets hurt.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Let's fix this, but don't tell mom.
Like when you accidentally shoot your brother in the chest with a BB.
Yeah.
And you're pissed off at him a minute earlier because he didn't follow the rules, because you were supposed to wait to count of three to cock your gun. Yet on the count of two, you get winged by a BB in the elbow. Because, man, this is bullshit. this actually happened.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Because that's the other side of small town communities like that, is they're all bickering and, like, at each other's throats and everybody's in each other's business. But there is a sense of community. There is a sense of care, for the most part, most people.
Like, it goes even beyond that. It's like, I've seen it even in, like, when we go to Cyborgs and they're playing MMA, a lot of those MMA fights, after one guy knocks the fuck out of the other guy, he helps him get back up and, like, are you okay?
Well, that's different because it's not, I mean,
it's community. It is. And that you'd see the same thing in professional hockey. I mean, one of the coolest things that, because I used to watch a lot of hockey in high school, after each round of the playoffs, both teams line up and shake hands. Mm-hmm. Like, they shake hands and hug, and they're, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie there.
Well, it's, I think in hockey, it's also like in sports like that, it's also important to like just say, hey,
it's not personal.
This we are enemies in this very specific thing.
Well,
when that buzzer hits, it's over.
And like next year when contracts change up, we could be on the same team.
Yeah.
There's that also.
Like you could absolutely, and you see some similar stuff in politics where like people will be like, this person is a fucking idiot. I'm sorry, they have a brain tumor.
Right.
Like I've because that happened recently with
McCain,
John McCain.
Well, yeah. I think that's complete. That's
like,
I guess it's the same ish.
Like, I think John McCain's policy ideas are.
You're steering us towards.
All right,
Trump.
Sorry.
Come on.
He's backdooring Trump.
Like,
yeah. This conversation.
Like you can keep your fights and your arguments scoped and still care about somebody as a person.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I think, you know, I wondered for a few minutes why they had someone as big as Woody Harrelson, like as big a name actor as Woody Harrelson in that role. He was only in half the movie and really only in a couple of scenes.
Yeah.
That scene, I don't think a lesser actor could have.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Just the turn.
For both of them.
Yeah. To have, because you also have to have somebody that is as good as the other.
Oh, yeah.
And Frances McDormand is a great actor, like all around. She's just a great actor. So you have to have somebody of her caliber in that scene or they'll just look like an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, and that I think that's kind of why they had him there.
Yeah, you have to, because he has such a presence, like to go from that
macho,
that intimidating, like, yeah, exactly, macho, to flipping to such a vulnerable like place.
No,
I absolutely agree with you on that. Like,
yeah,
he, a lesser actor could not have pulled that off the way that they both did.
Right. That, and Sam Rockwell plays a really good asshole.
He's so dumb.
He's so dumb, and
I love, like, what? Every time, like, there are just scenes where you know it's just to betray how dumb this guy is. He's there like, well, what country was he in? He's like, I can't tell you, but let me give you a clue. It's Sandy. Like, he looks like...
So he's dumb and smart in different places.
Yes, he is.
Because, like, in that one place, the one officer says, it's not an allegation, it's a question. He's like, what, are you fucking stupid?
He's
like,
don't call me that.
Well, it's not an allegation, it's a question. Like, that was good. And also that scene where he's like, let me give you a hint. That whole scene, I called his commanding officer. He was in a place that he couldn't talk about, and it's Sandy. He said something along the lines of, that really doesn't narrow it down very much. And in my mind, I was like, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya.
It would have been Iraq.
Yeah.
The pointed way he asked the questions. Iran, the pointed way Syria. He asked the questions, the time, like, he was like, within this timeline, blah, 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 blah. Like, it was Iraq.
We've been in all those countries for a while, though.
Like, but
I think Iraq is probably had the most troops for that timeline.
It was Iraq.
All right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He was.
You still need to watch Moon.
Moon? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sam Rockwell's the actor in that movie.
I like how his mom was, like, trying to add up all the years he's been a police officer, and she's like, well, it's 6 years if you count that year you were held back at the police academy.
She's saying, like, proud.
Yeah, and I was like,
he said 5 years at the police academy.
Right. Yeah, I thought the police academy was like a 3 month
part-time
program. Yeah,
that's what I was
thinking.
Yeah, like, isn't that like not that long? Like,
at least based on my interaction with the police in the region, it's a 3 month part-time thing.
I can find out. My nephew is going to be a cop.
Yeah, I legitimately, and then she was like, and then six counting the year they held you back. I was like, wait.
Yeah. Well, you can get, like, you can go through, like, a criminal justice, an associate of criminal justice, which is what he's doing now. Then he's going to get a part-time job.
Do
as
you
a cop,
need that to be a beat cop? I don't think you need any of that to be a beat cop.
And that's what he's doing.
Oh.
And he's doing that now because he wants to be a cop. So he's doing that to kind of get to open the door, basically.
Right.
Then once he is a cop, then they will actually put him through the academy.
This ad says 6 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. So, yeah. Yeah, Three Billboards is a good movie. It is definitely worth seeing.
Oh, yeah. I would agree. For sure.
Like, and I can see, like, if Julie wants to watch this one at some point, I would definitely sit down and watch it again.
Oh, yeah.
This
I could totally watch
this
it
is,
again.
This would be a very easy one to watch again. Like, even knowing the outcome, knowing the twists and turns, because the acting is so good.
Yeah, there isn't, like, some movies you want to watch again because you're like, oh, I want to see what I missed. There really isn't anything worth rewatching it to try to figure out again. Everything is kind of spelled out. The ending is ambiguous. But like you said, the acting and the dialogue is just so good.
Yeah.
It really just...
the official St. Louis Police Academy says 26 weeks. So half a year.
I don't know what program he was in. Maybe he went for like a real criminal justice
degree. They said he wanted to be a detective. So I'm sure there's additional training.
There is additional stuff you can
do. But
like
you don't get to just, I don't think you go straight into being a detective.
No.
I was really frustrated at how many crimes happened in this movie that nobody did anything about.
How
in the world can a police officer in broad daylight, even though he's a police officer, I get that he's a police officer, in broad daylight, assault a man, throw him out a window.
Yep.
On Main Street, in front of a police station, in front of people, and only get fired from his job. Not even immediately. He does not immediately get fired from his job.
Yep.
No charges. That's attempted murder. You throw somebody out of a second story window, that's attempted murder.
Is it? I'm asking if it is.
I don't know.
Because a second story window, any fall over 10 feet, if you hit your head, if you go head first, is potentially lethal. But typically, it's over 3 stories for actual lethal damage.
How do you know?
Are you rolling lethal
Jesus,
damage,
Alex?
How do I know this?
No, I don't
well,
want to know.
Technically, a two-story window drop like that
I
is
want plausible deniability.
2d6 damage of non-lethal.
So I learned that because of Scrubs. In Scrubs, Dr. Cox says he's going to jump off the roof, and then he goes, "But because we're only 3 stories tall, I'm just going to end up back in the hospital." Oh, so yeah. Then I looked it up. Three stories can kill you if you land in your head. If you land on your head, anything over 10 feet can be lethal. Period. If you don't,
depending on the fall, even a 6-foot ladder can be.
If you don't land on your head, like if you land feet first or on your back or something else absorbs the brunt of the impact, 3 stories is just going to hurt a lot. 4 stories is going to probably kill you. 5 stories is usually going to kill you. So like this was something, unless you're a cat. If you're a cat, it doesn't matter. You probably won't die.
Anyways, nothing happens to him. Except he does get fired, but like he wouldn't have gotten fired if that detective hadn't
the new chief hadn't seen
it happen. And he didn't try to stop him. The dude was still beating that guy crawling through the street. They're just watching. They didn't try to stop him.
Yeah.
He could have killed him. I thought he might.
This is why I said it reinforces a lot of the thoughts that I have in Cops.
Because but it's a movie.
It is a movie, but this plays out in a similar situation to a lot of, like, in all the, like, the police beatings and shooting videos, like, the
There's
other cops
There's never been
don't.
A video of something quite like this.
Nah, I've never seen a cop throw a guy out of a second-story window on Main Street. No.
Okay, so let's, like, let's keep it...
But yeah, so...
I saw
so
Tamir Rice get what, killed.
What
I agree.
What did... What would people have seen? They would have seen the guy go out the window.
Mm-hmm.
You would have seen him come down the street and beat the shit out of him.
They would have seen the cop break the first window. Because he breaks the window of the door.
To go in.
To go in.
Right. If they would have even noticed it at that point. Because he just marched over and broke the window.
Glass breaking is very loud.
Yeah, that's very recognizable. Right.
That would have made everybody turn their heads.
The girl saw it.
Yeah.
The girl saw it. He punches her in the face.
Yes, he does.
That's assault. They see him getting thrown out the window. They know Red.
Mm-hmm.
They know Red. And everybody knows that Red is a sweetheart and probably the best character. Not best character as in quality, but best as in like...
Best person?
Yeah. The best person in this town, maybe. Except for sweet, darling Penelope. And, Peter Dinklage.
Oh, yeah.
Who are just... At the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, like at some point, you kind of want a future story where Peter Dinklage and Penelope get together.
Yes.
And make really pretty babies together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
pretty okay. short.
The guy's
dumb
crawling
babies.
Through the street, bleeding. Like no more. The dude comes up and still is beating on him. So he gets fired. Nobody comes to help the dude.
And
that fucks me up.
So, like, all of this stuff happens in the span of, well, from the time the sheriff dies until the end of the movie, it's days. Like, I get the sense that it's just days.
Yep.
Yeah, it's quick.
Yeah, I think the whole movie is maybe a week or two.
Well, no.
No.
Because there's a month.
Yeah, there's at least a month.
Because there's at least a month.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, a month.
Because
goes by.
The billboards. And really, I think it has to be a little bit longer. Now that I think about it, it has to be a little bit longer than that. Because I can't imagine what's his ass would have got out of the hospital. I think it would have had to be. He would have had to been in the hospital for a couple of days.
Yeah. With those burns?
Yeah. I think those were only second degree burns.
Oh, so maybe.
That's a treat and bounce.
That's an overnight
situation.
Yeah, that could be just an overnight stay.
I don't think
he was still pretty messed up when he was out, so
yeah.
Those wounds were still pretty fresh. So yeah,
but
it could
they probably weren't
overnight
in danger
day.
Of infection anymore.
Right.
Oh, they're I don't know.
Ah, he was medicating with beer. It's fine.
Yeah,
he didn't.
It doesn't kill David. Yeah.
When I had that burn
Even
on
when
my
he has
leg,
to drink a 12 pack.
Right.
Like when he has to, Alex.
Yeah.
When he has no choice. Forced to drink a 12 pack. Trying to die on birthday.
All right, so the recording time is 2 hours and 15 minutes now. So
hot dog.
Maybe we can wrap this up.
Yeah, maybe we've covered
this. Anything else about the movie?
Nope, good movie.
About
go watch it.
Moving violations in the states of Illinois and Missouri.
Moving violations bad. Ebbing, Missouri good.
Yeah, we need to go to Ebbing.
Yeah, let's go.
Sure.
Road trip. All
right, we're there.
Road trip.
It doesn't exist.
I imagine it to be like Chester.
Yeah. Chester, Illinois?
Missouri. Oh. Is it Illinois?
Chester's Illinois.
It's like right on the border, though, isn't it?
It's where the Popeye statue is.
Yeah, that's it. I remember that.
I still have not been to see that.
That is their claim to fame. It's
I have.
I
it's
have a- been to Metropolis a number of times.
Ebbing, Missouri, good. Moving violations, bad. Shape of Water next week.
Shape of Water next week. Spoiler, Tony loves this movie.
Bye.